This is Season 7 of the Team Roping Journal's podcast, The Score, the show that started it all in the whole podcasting game in Team Roping and Rodeo. At 3 million downloads and counting, this is where Team Ropers talk, from our weekly short score episodes to the longer sit-down conversations that we get to have that dive deep into the personalities, producers, and horses that inspire the sport. This is where Team Ropers get their must-know information. Hey everyone, it is Chelsea Schaefer. Welcome to today's episode of The Score. This is our final installment of our 2024 Horse Market Report. And today's episode is with Brooke Wilson, the gal who just absolutely rang a bell with one of her horses the third year in a row at Rancho Rio. Brooke and her husband, Rhodey, have kind of owned the horse industry as far as the horse sales go the last few years. And I was very surprised to hear how they got into it and Brooke's whole background, because I kind of thought this was something she'd been doing for a couple decades, and that's not true. First of all, she's not old enough to have been doing it for a couple decades. Sorry, Brooke. But also, I thought she'd been doing it for a while, and they're pretty new to it. Rhodey's obviously always had a lot of horses, but this is a very interesting interview that I think for the average team roper, horse trainer, horsewoman, you might really enjoy this episode, and you will get an understanding for how you might be able to get into this too, because Brooke pretty much makes it sound like it is not rocket science. They are just some really good cowboys who do a lot of work, who ride really good horses, and then they offer them to the public. So this episode is an interesting one. It's very different. It's been a really fun horse market series because we've had a whole lot of different perspectives on the market and different perspectives on where things are, people coming from different points of the industry, different levels. So hope you've enjoyed it. If you haven't, go back and listen to the whole horse market series so you can really kind of binge where everything is at in the market and have a really good understanding as we go into the rest of 2024. Thanks, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Genuine Billy Cook Saddles, the finest handmade saddles and tack at the fairest prices, world famous since 1953. I'll tell you more about their relaunched business model at the commercial break, but until then, you can find out more at genuinebillycook.com. Well, Brooke, thank you for this. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for being on the podcast and sharing your wisdom with us as we enter this summer or spring. I guess it's spring, huh? It's March.
Yes, ma'am. Finally.
I know, right?
The wind's been blowing.
Are you in Arizona still, or are you?
No, we come back to Texas Monday after the Rancho Rio sale.
Gotcha. So how long did you spend in Arizona this year?
This year, we didn't get to stay as long. We have in Rio, it's kind of cut down our time just because finding a babysitter, and we had everything going really good here in Texas, and the weather's been good, so We just hung out here, and I've got a great babysitter here, so we took advantage of it. We went to Arizona for a week in January, just went and jackpotted pretty much every day, and then come home until after the Levelland sale, which would have been the second weekend of February, and then we were out there for about 5 weeks.
It was rough, huh? It was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now that we were out there, it was hard to leave, and I can't wait to go back. So that's the way it always goes. You're kind of dreading it. Just the change is always hard.
Yeah.
Hauling everything over there. It's a lot of work. I mean,
yeah,
we'll take 3 or 4 or 5 rigs over there by the time we get our steers and 30-plus head of horses, and there's a lot that goes into it.
So now we're at the – everybody knows who you are now, but how did you get here to where you're taking loads of steers and 30 head of horses to Arizona? Like, and that's a really broad question, but what, and I know your background is in, do you do oil and gas for
I do.
Yes.
So yes. Yep.
How did you end up the queen of the horse sale industry?
So I don't, we've always had quite a few horses around. I grew up on a ranch. Didn't even rope growing up at all, just always wanted to, and finally when I had the right opportunities, I took full advantage of it, and then of course since I got with Rhodey and we did that, he always had amazing horses around, and one day I was like, hey, I think we could sell that head horse. You know, I knew a kid looking, and we sold him two horses that day, and it just kind of took off from there. Next thing I know, let's see if we can put one in the premier sale. And we were going to Clovis. It was Clovis horse sales at the time. They're held in Clovis, and we take a few there. And our first big horse sale we went to was at the premier sale in Las Vegas.
How long ago was that?
That was 2019, I think.
So it's not like you've been in this for 20 years. This was...
No. Mm-hmm. No, it all happened very fast. But the reason it was able to is because Rhody had so many amazing horses to start with. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the everything put together, and we were just able to capitalize on it.
It was
at
just
the
a matter,
right time.
Yeah, a matter of offering them to the public at the time when the public was totally thirsty for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what is the percentage of time that your horses get in the arena versus, I mean, obviously Cactus Ropes, they use a ton of pictures of you out in the pasture doctoring things and all kinds of, in the wheat pasture. What's your ratio of in arena to outside sort of works?
I'm going to say, I mean, the first 2 to 3 years we ride them outside. Is it a consistent? No, we'll take them and use them, and then they get to have a break and hang out and mature. We don't just cram it on them super fast, you know. We ride them, and if there's something, Rhody likes to take them to some ranch rodeos, kind of let the pressure, you know, of it all develop the horse, and they kind of tell us when they're ready. That's what's pretty cool about what we get to do. We get to put them in a lot of different situations before we ever back on the box, so we know how they're going to take it once we do go to roping on them. I can already tell you if they're going to be a good horse or not as far as a rope horse.
And you're not necessarily flipping them in 6 months like the way you're describing it. You're taking them for years before they ever go to a sale ring.
Yes, absolutely. We'll buy them 2, 3, sometimes some 4-year-olds, and just kind of depending on who they come from. We're really, really picky. If we buy an older horse, like, and I say older, 4 or 5-year-old, that doesn't happen very often. And we'll keep them until they're 6, 7, 8, you know, it's kind of where we like to sell them. And, and the same deal, we hold them until they tell us they're ready to go on to somebody else. You know, we don't ever try to rush it. And I try to keep a pretty good list of where we're going to take horses for the next year. I've got it wrote down in my phone, and I shuffle it around and change things if something's looking like it's not going to be ready, or if one really is stepping up to the plate, then we'll do something different.
Mm-hmm. Have you, so in the last 5 years, has there been anything that is a lifer at your place that isn't leaving, that you have so much fun on that can't go anywhere?
Well, Rhody's got a couple of horses. He's got a big dun horse that he bought as a 3-year-old, come out of the feed yard, and he ranch rodeoed on him, won reserve top horse on him at the first year he took him to the ranch rodeo finals as a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. The horse is now 9, and he hasn't even really rode him in the last 2 years. Jalen Eldridge took him to Arizona and roped on him 2 years ago. And when we come home from Arizona, Rhody just kicked him out in the pen and hasn't really touched him. Rode him one time, I think. When we announced we were having Rio, we put the kid saddle on that horse, and I have a pretty good feeling he's not going to go anywhere. We weighed him the other day, and when people won't believe us, but he weighed 1680. So he's huge. And he's amazing. I mean, he's once in a lifetime type horse.
How's he bred? Is he what pedigree makes one 1600?
Sangiolina.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes back to Sangiolina. You might be able to see it on his page type deal. Nothing special, just wanted to be a good horse. I mean, I've got a video of Rhody roping on him outside as a 3-year-old, and it was unbelievable. I think it was maybe even the first day he took him outside. Wow, that horse is so cool from day one.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about papers a little bit. Well, how much do papers, when you're buying them as 2 and 3-year-olds, and obviously with the incentives, where do papers factor into the list these days with you?
You know, it has started making a difference. Thanks, thanks to Denny Gentry, the Riata Buckle, we focus a lot on that. We've lately had the opportunity to go to 4-6s and been buying colts from them. Last year, we got to go pick through their three-year-olds, and we bought 5 3-year-olds from them.
Wow.
All Riata Buckle. And then this year, they invited us back right after the Cowboys picked, and we got to go pick through the two-year-olds, and we bought 5 2-year-olds, and I think all but one of them is paid into the Riata Buckle. So that's kind of the direction we're definitely leaning. Does it, if we find a good horse or a young horse, we're probably not going to pay all the attention in the world to the papers, because we want the next great one. You know, we're always looking for that. And at the end of the day, some of the best horses we've had have not had stand-up star papers, you know, so that's kind of where we end up. If they're a good horse, we're going to buy them and go see what we can make with them.
Now, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember every good one that you've sold in the last few years, but the ones that were the high sellers at Rancho Rio, they were all geldings. Are mares finding their way into your program yet?
You know, it hasn't. We've kicked around the idea of having a really good mare around, but we haven't found the right one. We've got one stud.
and it's
not even that we planned on him being a stud. He's an own son of Smooth as a Cat out of a mare that's, I don't know, won about 98,000 or something. She a dual pet mare, I think. Anyhow, and he's big and he's blue roan. He's 3 years old. He's really making a good horse, and so we'll see where that goes. I mean, if he's not going to be a spectacular stud, he'll probably be a really good gilding. So we'll see what happens. You know.
Yeah.
That sure wasn't ever a thought in our mind when we bought him. He just hasn't told us otherwise. So we're just going to go with it. Yep.
Today's episode is brought to you by Genuine Billy Cook Saddles, the finest handmade saddles in tack at the fairest prices. World famous since 1953, Billy Cook Saddles continue to be built in the USA by horsemen for horsemen. In 2020, Genuine Billy Cook was revitalized and has been operating under a new business model aimed at producing the highest quality to ensure maximum performance while keeping true to Western horsemanship traditions. Check out genuinebillycook.com for the finest handmade saddles and tack and the fairest prices. That's genuinebillycook.com. What are you hearing from customers right now? Are people getting exhausted with the rope horse market? Or, you know, if people kept saying year after year, okay, this is the year the bubble's going to burst, or this is the year it's not going to be as good. What are you hearing from customers?
And I don't see that at all. The industry is still growing. The team ropings are unbelievable. We're able to rope for more money now than in my opinion we ever have been. The Riata Buckle keeps growing. The finales keep paying more. The ropings before Vegas and even through the winter in Arizona are unbelievable. You get the opportunity to back in the box for, you know, lots and lots of money. So along with that, the most important tool that you can have is a great rope horse. So people are still looking, they're still hunting, and you can never have enough of them. So I think it's remained very steady.
Yeah. Have you been finding new people coming into the market? Are you selling to longtime ropers, to lower number guys? What's your client base?
We have lots of newer type people that call and ask about horses, threes and fours. And we've got to be pretty careful and point them in the right direction and don't get them over mounted. So there's a lot of times where we say, hey, that horse probably isn't going to be what you're looking for. And it's hard to find that right type of horse, because they're wanting the new people that we've been talking to want a horse with a ranching background that has actually been used and put through all the pressure situations that go along with ranching. And when I say ranching, I don't mean just going and gathering your cows. I mean, getting in the pens and having a lot of pressure put on them, sorting and dragging and then from there, they want one that's you know, controllable and has a good mind. And so, but along with that, sometimes you get too much horse. And mm-hmm. so there's a balance there that we got to be careful and not exceed. Kind of like Twizzler. I mean, that horse, he was so easy to ride that it made him very desirable. Mm-hmm. Where there's, you know, some of the other horses that we sell may be too much. And we just got to, you know, we call it like it is. If there's a horse that's got a lot to him, we're going to tell people about it.
Sure. How, as far as size goes, I mean, obviously it seems like the head horses bring more right now. Do you have heel horses around, or have you been selling any heel horses?
We have been, and pretty much every head horse that we have sold has started off as a heel horse. Mm-hmm. I'll take Twizzler, for instance. I mean, they won the 10 incentive on him with a Riata buckle for the 6 and under. Healing on him this past year. Mm-hmm. We took 3 horses to Rancho, and the 3rd horse was a heel horse. He had plenty of size, and we'd run, you know, rope steers, headed steers on him too, where he was kind of could go either way. And then the other horse that we took, Jalen Eldridge, had hauled him everywhere on the heel side. Mm-hmm. And he actually called last night and asked if he could ride him in the open. So at the BFI.
At the BFI, so yeah. I saw his.
So we always try to make them a really good heel horse first, and kind of seeing where they go and where their talent lies, you know, tells us how good of a head horse they're going to be.
Sure, yeah. I did get that update from Lane at the BFI yesterday. This episode will come out on Thursday the 28th, which is 2 days before the BFI. So that's a fresh little news drop that Jalen Eldridge is going to heal for Aaron Sinogini at the BFI. So if everybody wants to be excited about that.
It is. It's going to be pretty cool.
Very
Jalen
cool.
Jalen needs to be there. He ropes good.
Oh, man, he does. He can, no matter, you could, I mean, I'm sure whatever you're going to put him on is amazing, but it doesn't actually matter what range he's in. Yeah.
Yeah, it don't matter. I think he's going to ride one of Rhodey's good horses that he actually took to Vegas this year. He's a one-time Pepto, and he's a 6-year-old. So that's kind of the direction we're leaning with it. So I hope it goes well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that we're bragging on it.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite, like if you were to just buy off papers, I did an episode, a horse market episode with Jeremy Barwick a couple weeks ago, and he said the Stevies are so hot right now, and that's what people are buying in his market. But you're mm-hmm. selling to more of like the average team roper. Is there anything that's your favorite right now?
Anything with a good mind is what we really like.
Sure.
Ranch and backgrounds, and that's kind of something that – is pretty cool with us. We get to go and buy from these ranches that have, these cowboys have been riding them for a long time, you know, generations and generations.
Sure.
And so they know these horses. Sure, they may not be the hottest thing going, like the Stevies or mm-hmm. whatever, Metallic Cats, but they kind of go back to that direction a little bit. We really like the Cats Hillbillies, which is what Honky Tonk was last year. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably hands down Rhodey's favorite. I mean,
really?
We actually just sold one private treaty the week before Rancho to a lady in Montana, Cats Hillbilly, and that horse was just so good minded. Rhodey could ride him at the highest level, and then turn right around and let our nephew, who's 10 years old, and he's a little guy, mm-hmm. Get on that horse and haul into the junior rodeos there, and could win on him. He'd go win his first team roping jackpots. And so those horses just across the board want to be so good. We've had a lot of success and good luck with them. And so that's kind of the direction we like to go.
Yeah. Now, are you breakawaying at all, Brooke?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. With having a job in Rio and everything else, I'm going to leave that to those girls that can do it fast.
Absolutely. As far as the head horses go, we obviously talked about a ton of the ranching background of the cow. Do you have anything that's bred to run? As far as, I mean, obviously they have plenty of run. I'm not saying your horses don't have plenty of run, but I'm saying anything race bred in the barn?
Yeah, I've actually got a gray horse. He's by a son of Mr. Jess Perry out of a playgun type mare. And he is one of my favorites that I have right now. Like, he can really, really run, but reads a steer very, very good. And then I've got a four-year-old that is by Jesse Topaz out of a Dash to Fame mare. And so we've got him going really good. I'm very excited about that horse. Everybody that's been riding him loves him. He's beautiful. He's one of the colts that we bought from the Sixes last year. Sure. So I'm really, really excited about him. I can't get him made fast enough. I'm ready to start doing something.
Now, there are a lot of, I mean, you sell horses, a lot of horses that are great for the general public. Do you think these ones that are bred to run are going to be great for the general public?
The ones that we have right now, I do. Mm-hmm. And it's because everybody that's rode these horses, though, like my gray horse, come from a great cowboy, Mark Voss. But he put the time in on him. He owned him since he was a yearling, and I bought him when he was just turning five. So in that time in between, Mark did an amazing job at making that horse what he is today, getting him through the race part of it, mm-hmm. I guess, for lack of better terms. And so now that he's through all that, he's unbelievable. Like, he's a statue in the box, but he has so much rate. And I truly think that it's not necessarily the running part of it, but it's who's riding them that's the most important part. If you got the right guy on them, it doesn't matter what they're bred like, in my opinion. They're going to make a good horse.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have done so well at the Riata Buckle, you know, high money winner the first year, and, you know, you've been very consistent at all the World Series. We saw Jackie Crawford jump out at the American Rope Horse Futurity Association and win the intermediate. Is the judged stuff, anything that interests you guys?
I mean, I love the idea of it. If I ever get the right horse,
yeah,
that I think could definitely do it, and I think that gray horse probably has the potential, mm-hmm. I would probably step out there and try it, but it takes the right horse, and we go to so many World Series ropings that there's a, you know, it's a different setup, and we get our horses so World Series broke, I guess you could say, that mm-hmm. that it could be kind of a struggle. But if I had the right horse that I think would score and you know, look the part, I would love to go try it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think people should look for in the rope horse market this year, as far as a seller goes? If somebody wants to list a horse in some sales this year, you know, list a nice rope horse, what do you think they should expect to do to get the horse ready to sell, and what do you think they should look for in the market?
So you definitely have to start with a good horse. If you take just something that you're just trying to get by, or that's a little green, it's hard. They've got to look the part as far as being fit and fat. You can't take one that's got long hair and expect them to do very good. They also got to have all the right videos, and I think hauling them around and showing that they're a good horse goes a long ways. There's a lot of people that just kind of ride them at home and tell you how good they are. I like to put our money up and show you what we have and let the horse do the talking. And so I think that helps tremendously. If people want to try to do that, I think they'll get along very good, because there's a lot of people out there looking for the next horse that they can haul and go win on. And the horse has to be ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We take our horses and sell our best ones that we're riding at the time. So that's, you know, that's what you got to do. You can't, it's hard to keep your good one and not sell them, you know?
Sure. What are the sales next on your agenda this year? What's the schedule that's in your phone?
From now till the end of May, start, I guess, at the pitcher sale, which is the last weekend of April, we're going to go up there and try it. We're pretty excited. We're taking two horses. One is a half brother to the roan horse that Shad Mayfield has rode so much, mm-hmm. Rampage, mm-hmm. and he's making a really good head horse. Cody Wheeler has been hauling him. He actually won the Wiley Hicks, the 14 on him a couple weeks ago.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. That horse has got a good resume. He's 6 years old. He's beautiful, and so I'm pretty excited to take him. Then we're taking another younger. He's five. He's making a good head horse, kind of a prospect type, and see how it goes up there. And then from there, we'll go to the Triangle Sale the next weekend in Oklahoma City. And then we have the Western Heritage Ranch Horse Sale in Abilene. And then back to Steve's Sale in Leveland. to wrap up May. So we're pretty busy there for a minute,
Yeah, I
four
think
of them back to back.
I asked you for the
Yeah.
rest of the year, but we can definitely just leave it at that. You've got plenty that people can find horses of yours.
From there it's kind of wide open for a little bit, but that seems like the way it always hits. There's a ton of sales back to back, and then you get to take a break and regroup. So that's kind of a good thing.
And then you just have to casually do some momming and
Yes.
businesswomaning in the in between.
Yeah, that's the most challenging part. A lot of mornings that you can find me on the computer about 3:30 to 4, trying to get the day started, and then that way it kind of opens me up to where I can go rope a little bit.
Well, I haven't figured out the going to rope a little bit part of those days, but yes, you can text me anytime you want at 3 or 4 in the morning. I'm there. I'm right there
Yeah,
with
you
you.
get it. Yeah, it's quiet, you can get a lot done.
It is. It's peaceful for sure. But that I wish, like Microsoft Office or Outlook lets you schedule emails. I really wish I could
Yes.
schedule text messages to team ropers.
True.
Sometimes I just go full send and don't really care if it wakes them up at 3:30 in the morning. Like, it's your
Yep.
fault if you don't have your
Yep.
notification shut off, bud.
That's right.
But well,
For sure.
thank you so much, Brooke. I appreciate
You
it.
bet. Yeah, thanks for
Of
having us
course.
on.
Congratulations on a amazing another amazing sale at Rancho Rio for sure.
Thank you. It's sure a lot of fun. We're pretty blessed to get to do what we do.
Well, I am glad that you are doing what you do because you make it a lot of fun for us.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Brooke. Talk to
All right, talk to you later.
you later. Bye. Thank you again to our sponsors at Genuine Billy Cook Saddles, the finest handmade saddles and tack at the fairest prices. World famous since 1953, Billy Cook Saddles continue to be built in the USA by horsemen for horsemen. In 2020, Genuine Billy Cook Saddles was revitalized and has been operating under a new business model aimed at producing the highest quality to ensure maximum performance while keeping true to Western horsemanship traditions. That's genuinebillycook.com for the finest handmade saddles and tack at the fairest prices. Thank you for listening once again to The Score. I'm Chelsea Schaefer, and we will be talking to the BFI winners, of course, right after the event. So they will be on The Score the next time y'all listen.